This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, let us move then on to the Gemara, which is now Moed Katan. We're going to be doing some difficult Gemaras, a little bit complicated Gemara today, and I'm going to try and simplify it as much as I can and learn some kind of lesson out of it. And we're looking at Zayin Amud Beis and Chet Amud Aleph is the area that we're looking at. Zayin Amud Beis and Chet Amud Aleph. And the piece that this affects is the strange piece of Torah in Parshas Metzora about houses getting leprosy. And we know it doesn't mean leprosy, but houses can become tome. And we're just in the Nefesh HaChaim Shiur, we touched on a little bit of what tome means, and we're going to go into some deeper understanding of what that is, specifically with respect to a house. So how is it introduced in the Torah? In Parshas Metzora, chapter 14, verse 33, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron le'emor, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, Ki sovoyu el Eretz Kanaan asher ani noisein lochem la'achuzo, when you come to Eretz Kanaan, to the land which I'm giving to you as an inheritance, v'nosati nega tzoras beveis Eretz achuzaschem. There are times when I will apply a blemish of tzorat in the house of the land of your residence. Va'ashelo habayis, and the person whose house it is will come, v'higid la'kohen le'mor, and he shall say to the kohen, saying, k'nega niroli babayis, something that looks like a nega has appeared in my house. That siva ha'kohen, and the kohen will instruct, ufinu es habayis, and they shall empty the house, b'terib yovo ha'kohen liris es ha'nega, before the kohen comes, they'll empty the house, and then everything that's contained in the house will not come become tome as well. And then when they've emptied the house, then the kohen will come to see the house, and then there's a whole procedure described as to what he does and how he determines whether it is tome or it isn't tome, and so on and so forth. But that's the piece of Chumash that affects us directly tonight. Now, in the as far as the Gemara is concerned, before we go into the Gemara, we need to know one Mishnah in Negoim. Negoim is the area of Mishnah that deals with Nega, with Tzorat. And in Perik Yud Beis, in Masechta Negoim, we have three views. Around this phrase in the Chumash, V'tzivo ha-kohen ufinu es habayis, and the kohen shall instruct the house, and they shall empty the house. The issue in the Mishnah is that an instruction or is that a lenience? Is that something that the Torah is instructing, or is the Torah saying, you may empty the house when it doesn't become Tomei? What does it mean? So the first view we have is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Goyim, Va'afilu chevle eitzim, va'afilu chevle eitzim, va'afilu chevle kinim. Even bales of wood, chopped up wood that's bound in a bale, and reeds that are all bound up, straw, they must also be removed. Now, what's interesting about that? What's interesting about that is, can you use those things for schachan sukkahs? Can you use bales of things of wood that are all bound up in a... So you actually cannot. And the Mishnah says, the Gemara says in Sukkah, the reason why you cannot is chazal. That's a takonis chazal, that we can't use it. Is it mekabel tuma? It's not mekabel tuma. If it was mekabel tuma, you wouldn't need chazal. If it was something that could receive tuma, then in any case, there would be no discussion about using it on Sukkahs. The fact that there's a whole discussion about whether you can use it for the Sukkah means that it's not tameyable. If it's not tameyable, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to say you've got to take it out? And Rabbi Shimon says right away, do you think the Torah just wants to keep you busy emptying out your house? Is this some kind of gain? Why should you take out bales of wood and bales of straw? It's unnecessary, says Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Shimon. So that's the second view. Omar Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says, what is it that you have to say? V'chimam etamil, what are we worried about? In terma klei etzel v'godov umat chosov, if it's referring to clothing and metal utensils and wooden utensils, matbilin v'en tahurin, what's the big deal? If the house turns out to be tamei, go take them to the mikveh and dip them in the mikveh and they become tahor. No big deal. Why do you have to empty the house? V'amar chaso atoyos, so why is the Torah concerned? Our clay chersov, our pachov, our tapov, on little insignificant earthenware utensils. Earthenware utensils were cheap. Glass and metal and wood utensils were more expensive. Earthenware utensils were cheap. Nevertheless, Torah says the Kohen must wait, give you a chance to get them out of the house so that you're not matame them, because you cannot take them to the mikveh. That doesn't work for them, so you would have to destroy them. We don't want to waste money of the Jewish people. People work hard for their money, especially if they're honest. And therefore the Torah is very meticulous not to cause people to waste their money. And that's the view of Rabbi Meir. Now, why does Rabbi Shimon hold that you've got to remove things that are not Mekabel Tumah? That's the real question. Because what does Rabbi Shimon say? Even these bales you've got to take out. Because it says in the Torah, Ufinu, you've got to take out things from the house. What is the verse in the Torah? It says, empty out the house, vacate the house before the Kohen comes, below yitma kol asher babayis, so that everything in the house doesn't become tome, implying that everything in the house becomes tome. And that says Rabbi Shimon, as explained by the Mishneh Lemelech, it doesn't mean that they would become tome, but there's a gzeras hakosov, there's an inexplicable law of the Torah that when the Kohen comes, the house must be empty. It's got nothing to do with tumah. It's because you're right. The metal things and the wooden things you can take to the mikveh, and the earthenware things, okay. So that Rabbi Meir says the Torah is concerned about that. But this to have to take out the bales of wood and of reeds, that you shouldn't have to take out, except that there's another law apart from tumah. There's a law that when the Kohen comes, he should see nothing but the house. His eye should not be distracted by contents. He should only be looking at the container, at the house. Now, when you come into a house, what do you see first? You see the furnishings. Sometimes you see how attractive they are, and sometimes you see how ghastly they are. But the first thing you see is the furnishings and all the things around. Then you start noticing the building. Now, with a Kohen, everything out there should just be a raw building. You can come in and you can evaluate the building just for what the building is. That's Gzeras HaKosuf, says the Mishneh Lemelech. So let's hold with that a little bit. Now let's look at the Gemara. And on B'Zayin Amud Beis, says the Gemara, we'll start about 12 lines from the bottom. 12 lines from the bottom. The Maimra. That means to say, says the Gemara, the Bekohen Talyo Milton. It seems that it all depends on the Kohen. Because this is a strange situation. The Kohen can say, clear out the house, I'll come in tomorrow and I'll check. Or clear out the house, I'll come in next week and I'll check. Now what happens if the Kohen finds that the Nega is a bad one? It's Tomei. When was the Nega there? It was there before the Kohen came. Nothing's changed. And when it was there, the furniture was there. The contents were there. So why didn't they become Tomei? Why has the Kohen even got that discretion to say, I won't come until you get the stuff out. Then I'll come, then we'll see if it's like saying, you know, finish the meat first and then I'll tell you whether it was treif or not. You know, why stop in the middle? Finish the meal and then I'll tell you if it was treif. That's exactly right. Shimon. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. Lameimra, the Bekohen Talya Milsa. So we see clearly here, this tumor, unlike any other tumor, depends on the declaration of the Kohen, not on the scientific fact. The scientific fact is input for the Kohen. The Kohen makes a determination, and the output is his declaration, and the declaration creates the tumor, not the fact, which is very interesting. The Gemara says, yes, clearly, that is so. But in Vatanya, we've learned in a Brisa, in fact. And the Gemara is now going to bring through the Brisa two different ways we know that. Where do we learn that from? Two different places. The first place is the pasuk that we have in the Torah, in Vayikra Yud Gimel, that says, Vayoyim hera'os boy, on the day that he shows it to him, this is talking about a proper leprosy in the human being, the proper psoriasis. On the day that he shows it to him, implying Yeshem Shata Royabeva, Yeshem Shiyata Royabeva. There are some days when you see it and some days when you don't. The Kohen that isn't always available to look. What does it depend on? Mikan Omru, from that phrasing of it will be on the day that the Kohen sees it, implying even if you discover it today, it's on the day that you'll go to the doctor. It doesn't mean and you immediately go. You go to the Kohen sometime in the future. Why? Because Choson Shenoelad Bo Nega, if a Choson suddenly sees a Nega, Nosin Lo Zayin Yom Yom Amishti, we wait until the end of Sheva Brochus. Don't interfere in the Sheva Brochus. End of Sheva Brochus will determine whether he's Tomei or not. Loyal Abeso, Lekisuso, the same applies to him, or his house has got a Nega, or his clothing has got a Nega. We give him the Chen Beregel, and the same about Yontif, if in Chol HaMoed, There's an issue with a nega. We give him the whole Yom Tov. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's where Rabbi Yehuda learns from that the Kohen has the option to decide when he'll have a look at it. If there's a reason, such as a marriage, Sheva Brochus, or a Yom Tov, the Kohen is free to postpone the sighting, so as not to create the tumor in the midst of the celebrations. Rabbi Omer, Ein Tzorich, you don't. Rabbi says you don't need to learn it from there. Harehu Omer, it says in the piece we just learned that Sivo HaKohen Ufinuiz Habayis, that the Kohen will instruct that the house should be emptied. Imantinin Loi Lidvara Roshus Kol Shken Lidvara Mitzvah. If the Kohen says, wait, I won't come just yet, I'll give you time to empty the house just to save some money of the pottery, surely he has the right to not come to save the chos and the trouble in the middle of the Sheva Brochus and in the middle of Yom Tov. That's where we learn it from. So we have two different sources to learn it from. The one place we learn it from is where the individual has a Negat Sarat, and it says, and on the day the Kohen looks at it, implying that not every day does the Kohen look at it. There are times when the Kohen says, I'm not available to look at it. That's when he's a Choson or it's Yom Tov. And the second one is Rebbe, who says, we see from our piece of Chumash that we just learned, that the Kohen is free and in fact required to give the household owner time to empty the house. That means that the Torah regards his declaration as the moment of onset of tumah, not the physical appearance of the nega.
Is there an indication that you can't clear up the house before you go into the
nega? Well, you could. There's nothing stopping you from clearing up the house. It's not necessary. So ask the Gemara, Maya Benaya, what is the difference between these two views? Omar Abaye Mashmos Doshimiki Benaya Abaye says, just preference as to where they want to learn it from. For Rav Omar, and Rav says, no, Dovar Rishus Iki Benaya. There's a difference between Dovar Rishus. So according to the first view, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only for a mitzvah, like Yom Tov or a chasana, that you can create, that you may delay. But to delay just for any other reason, you cannot. Now we go further, and it's the next line that really is going to concern us. Rabbi Yehuda mehosam loy gamrinen. So why does Rabbi Yehuda not learn it from Rabbi's source? What was Rabbi's source? Rabbi's source was the house, but where you're given the piece of chumash that we learned. That's an obvious place to learn it from. The Torah says very explicitly that the Kohen gives the people time to enter the house. So clearly the Kohen's utterance determines the tumor, not the scientific fact. So that's clear. Why would Rabbi Yehuda not learn from there? Answers the Gemara, the Chidushu, because that's a huge innovation. And we have a principle that when there's a major Chidush, says Rashi, Loi Gamrinen, the bottom Rashi, to have a Chidush, umi Chidush Loi Alfinen. When something is a huge innovation in the Torah, you cannot extrapolate it to other situations. You can extrapolate something which is basic, but when the Torah says something that is hugely innovative, you can't extrapolate it to other situations. The Chol Echad Ike Chidush, we have a principle, anywhere where there is a Chidush, Ein Lecho Dover Boy Elo Chidusho, the only thing that you can have in that law is the actual Chidush. You can't go extending and extrapolating. So what's the chiddush in the case of the house? Says the Gemara on the top of the next page. The ha'etzim v'avonim ba'alma loy mitama v'hachom mitama. Stones and wood don't become tomei normally, unless they're made into kelim, unless they're made into utensils. But raw wood and raw stone doesn't become tomei. V'hachom mitama, and here they do. So we see the whole way of working of tumah in the case of the house is unique and radically different from any other case of tumah, and therefore we cannot extrapolate any principles from the house type of tumah. It's different. That's all it is. It's different, it's an exception, and from an exception you can't extrapolate. That's what the Gemara wants to say. The Mishneh Lemelech asks some interesting questions. So just bear that in mind. We're going to look at two Rambams, and then I'll give you the Mishneh Lemelech's question. The first Rambam, they're both in Hilchos Tzaraas, in the laws of Tzaraas, of this kind of tumah. The first one is in Yud Dalet Dalet, chapter 14, paragraph 4. The Rambam says the following: Kishiyire nega b'bayis afilu chochum sheyodea vaday sheze nega. If you see a nega in your house, even if you're a big Talmid Chochum, you're a big rabbinic scholar, so you know for sure it's a nega. Lo yigzor v'yoyman nega nireli b'bayis. He should not say the words, "I found a nega in my house," because once you say those words, you've determined. Ela oymer la kohen kan nega nireli b'bayis. Something that looks like a nega. Now it's very interesting. If we just take an aside, in New Age medicine, there's a lot of talk. Don't label the disease. Because once you've labeled the disease, you got it. So in medicine, we like to label the disease right away, because then they know how to treat it. In New Age medicine, it's the opposite. Because there's and there's a lot of interesting research, and that's not the subject of the shiur, but it's interesting that there's a concept like this with tzaraas. Don't say it's tzaraas. When you say it, it is. Does it mean that it's the same with diseases outside of the area of tzaraas? I don't know. There's such a principle that once you label it, it is. And how many cases do you and I know of people who've, God forbid, had cancer for a long time and the deterioration sets in on diagnosis? So you can say they've had it and everything's fine. They didn't even know they had it. All of a sudden, it's diagnosed and deterioration sets in, and you can say all sorts of things. There are many, many reasons why that may be. But one has to wonder, is there something that goes on that once you've given it the name, once you've determined it, tzaraas, then it's tzaraas. You say, cut tzaraas, I have a pain. A bit of pain we can deal with before one even knows what it is. Yeah, but here the Rambam says something quite different. It says that a chochem shouldn't say those words. Even if you're a chochem, you shouldn't say, nega nerili babayit. Elo, but you should say, Kanega nerili. That he's explaining why the Torah says kanega. That even if you're a Talmid Chochem, don't give it the name. Now I don't know whether if you're not a kohen, it doesn't seem that if you're not a kohen and you determine it a nega, that it automatically is. It would seem to require the announcement of the kohen himself to make it halachically a nega. But it seems that there's some force in saying it's a nega. Even the non kohen saying it's a nega seems to give it a power that it doesn't have if you say kanega. Which is really interesting. It's kind of altiftach peh lasatan. Maybe there's some of that in it. It's interesting that I took, as some of you will remember, Dr. Solon Strano from Keter Torah, and when he went to Israel, I took him to introduce him to the Meir Soloveitchik, and he was talking about his area of medicine, which is early detection of breast cancer through radiology. And Reb Meir said, but he's opposed to the whole idea of medical checkups. Why go to a doctor if you're feeling fine? And it sounds like counterintuitive in our kind of Western medicine. Well, you go for regular checkups. That's what the doctors tell you you've got to do. But it's interesting. I went, a friend of mine did, just for fun on me, one of these, in America they have them, I'm sure they have them here too. In America they're quite popular. They do a kind of a scan of your heart to determine calcification. So it's like a CAT scan, almost. It's quite an expensive process normally, but he kind of has one of these. He just did it for me because he thought it was a good idea. So I said, but this is so amazing. Why don't you do my whole body while we're at it? Why just the heart? Nice to know the heart's okay. Thank you, but you get such amazing photography. Do the whole body. He said, we don't do that. I said, why not? It's not even a matter of the prices in the machine. The process doesn't cost anything. Machine's standing here. It's empty. It's a public holiday. Do my whole body. He says, because you start finding things. And you start finding things, so you start doing procedures. And the procedures cause things which you didn't even find there before. It's best known. You don't have a reason to know. Then I suddenly thought, oh, there's Rameh Soloveitchik saying it, and you think, what a fanatic. But a cardiologist says it, and you say, huh, that's chokhmah. And then you've got to say to yourself, in that case, doctor, if you don't want to scan my whole body, why have an annual checkup if I'm feeling okay? So there's schools of thought. I'm not saying that one shouldn't have annual checkups. I'm just alerting you to the fact that there's a school of thought, both in Torah and in New Age medicine. Be sufficiently in touch with your body that you know when something's wrong. And if you're feeling fine, you stay with it. You're not feeling fine, you better find out what's wrong. And very often the doctors can't find, we can't find, we can't find. And how often do you hear of cases where the patient says, but I know there's a problem. You remember late Chazan Gluck, some of you will remember, died very young. And I remember seeing him when he was very ill. And he said to me, the doctors say I'm fine and I'm telling you I'm dying. But I know. And he says, they're not trying to hide it from me, they can't find. It was in the early stages of disease. He says, I know I'm dying. One can be in tune. And if one's in tune, you know, you don't have to give it labels. You don't have to diagnose. It's just important to see the two sides of the picture. Again, don't go away and say that I said that nobody should go to doctors and one should know medicals. I'm just saying there's such a thing as managing your health internally, becoming like we were doing with the Nefesh HaChayim, becoming so in tune with your body that you know when something's not right. And there are ways of dealing with it that, apart from medicine, there are other ways of dealing with things that aren't right in the body. But once you've given it a medical diagnosis, there's only one way to deal with it, and that's with medicine. So who knows whether there isn't some of this in the Rambam as well. Sorry, Malcolm, will you want to say that? Correct. It doesn't make it halachically a nega. What the Rambam's worried about is the Loshon in the Torah. Why must you say kanega? Say I saw a nega. And the Kohen will tell you it's not a nega, don't worry. Say I go to the doctor, say I've got cancer. The Kohen will say it's not cancer. Don't say that. Say I've got a pain. I've got something that feels like it. Let the doctor then determine. That seems to be what the Rambam's saying, that there's a lesson in this. It's clear that it doesn't make it saras. Only the Kohen can make it saras. And yet you shouldn't say it, because your saying it might give it the power to actually be saras later when the Kohen declares it. It's an interesting chidush in the Rambam. But then that's not the part that we're interested in. But tziva ha-Kohen afilu et ha-bayit, afilu chavile etzim v'chavile kanim. You must remove even the bales of wood and reeds. So who's he paskening like? In Mishnah Nagoyim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Meir. You've got to remove the Chavile Eitzim and Chavile Kinin. That's Rabbi Yehuda, the first view. Even though they're not Mekabel Tumah. V'achakach yavo ha-Kohen v'ikonis v'yira ha-Nega, and then the Kohen will come in. So he's paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. In Perek Tes Mishnah Halacha Perek Tes Halacha Ches. He says the following: the Rambam, just a few chapters earlier. Choson shenire bo nega noslim loy kol shivo shivas yimei amishte. A choson who sees a nega, wait for the till the sheva brachos are over. V'chein inire bivgodo b'vayso enroy nusa ad la'achal amishte, or in his clothes or his house, wait until the end of shiva brachos. And if it's a Yom Tov, wait till the end of the Yom Tov. Why? Where do we get it from? If he learns the same Kavachomer that we have over here, if the Torah allows you to wait for something just to save some money, surely you're allowed to wait for the purpose of the mitzvah. So that uses the Kavachomer. What did we explain was the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why you have to remove the bales of wood? What did we say? It's a gzeiras hakosuv. It's not tumah, because they're not mekabel tumah. If it's a gzeiras hakosuv, how does the Rambam learn the kal vachomer? the two have got nothing to do with each other. It's all very well to learn over here, and Rabbi Yehuda says, we'll come to the Lechem Mishnah's question in the Gemara itself, but first his question on the Rambam. If you're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, that you've got to take the bales of wood and reeds out of the house, then the reason for that is Gzeras HaKosuv. So when the Kohen says, I'm coming, but first take everything out of the house, what's the reason? I need an empty house. It's got nothing to do with Tumah. It's not because we're worried about your little utensils. It's because we need an empty house. So how does the Rambam learn a Kal Vachomer? Ask the Mishnah and Melech. If the Torah says, I'll wait so that you can get your little pots and pans out, certainly we should wait for a Chasana or for Yom Tov. Two have nothing to do with each other, ask the Lechem Mishnah. The second question the Lechem Mishnah asks is in the Gemara. The Gemara says, what is the Chiddush? When Rabbi Yehuda says, there's an innovation in this principle that makes it impossible to extrapolate it further. What is the innovation? Eitzim va'avoni. What does that seem to imply? The obvious thing to say would mean that it implies that even if the house is made of trees, of wood, and of kelim as such, that they're not mekabel tumah. Because if it's talking about just ordinary blocks of wooden things, that doesn't seem to be what it's talking about at all. So if we're talking about the house itself, then he asks, but even if the house has metal in it, that's a chiddush. Why? Because the house is attached to the ground. And if something's attached to the ground, it's not mekabel tumah. So the chiddush of the house law has nothing to do with wood and stone. It has to do with the fact that even materials which would not become tomeh because they're attached to the ground becomes tomeh. The whole house becomes tomeh. How can a house become tomeh? It's attached to the ground. So you see it's a different kind of tumah. That's the essence of it. It's not because of wood or stone. The whole house becomes tomeh, and that's a chiddush. And so the Lechem Mishnah says, if you look at Tosfos clearly, look at the top Tosfos on Daf Ches. Eitzim va'avonim lo metamu. The afilu hachi metamukan. Although raw wooden stone doesn't normally become tome, here it does. Adds Tosfos, eitzim va'avonim lav dafke. It doesn't mean specifically tree, wood and stone. Tortnan b'mesechus negoyim, because we learnt in Mesechus Negoyim the Rabbi Yehuda afilu chavile kash v'chavile tevin, even bales of straw become tome. So all sorts of things that don't normally become tomei in the house. So Tosfos has given us a whole new principle. What has Tosfos said? The reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to take out the bales is what?
Yes.
Not to have an empty house, because they can become tomei. We thought it was to have an empty house, but it's a separate gzeras hakosuv. Tosfos is saying no. Although in all other laws of tumei throughout the Torah, bales of straw cannot become tomei, here they can. And the Lechem Mishnah says, it's strange, it's odd that there should be, but that's the only way you can learn the Gemara. Then you can understand the Rambam. So the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yehuda, that's correct. And what does he say? You've got to take the bales of straw out. And then he uses the Kal Vachomer. That's correct. Because why do you have to take the bales of straw out so that they don't become tomeh? But straw can't become tomeh. Says the Lechem Mishnah, here they can. Unusual law of tomeh. Here they can. The contents of the house becomes tomeh, even though those things would never become tomeh. They can be touching a dead body and they won't become tomeh. They can be in the grave with a dead body and they won't become tomeh. But in a house that has saras, they can become tomeh. Says the Lechem Mishnah. It says it's odd. It seems a strange law in tumah. Tumas are saras, but that's where it is. The strange thing is the words in the Torah support it, because what does the Torah say? Empty the house. Why? V'lo yitmo kol asher babayis. And so that everything in the house doesn't become tomeh. Implying if you don't empty the house, everything in the house will become tomeh. The words in the Chumash, it says it. And yes, the other Tanoim read those words differently to say it's talking only about the earthenware things, as Rabbi Meir says in the Mishnah. But if you just look at the words, it's like Rabbi Yehuda according to the Rambam. If you learn Rabbi Yehuda according to the Rambam and the Lechem Mishnah, then it means that even things incapable of becoming tome become tome when they're in the house. And it's a strange kind of tumah. So let's end off with some understanding as to what is the nature of this tumah. What have we found is strange about it? Number one, it's dependent on the Kohen's declaration. Number two, even things which can't normally become tomeh become tomeh. How do they become tomeh? Well, the house itself becomes tomeh. That's unusual, because it's a mechubah lekarko. And the contents, those things that are in the house, become tomeh. So let's try and analyze it a little bit. If it's dependent on the words of the Kohen, that already is so absurd on the surface. What is the Kohen saying? That this is a nega. So he's diagnosing. So surely he's saying this has always been a nega. Not from the moment I declare it a nega. So yes, with New Age medicine we're saying, yeah, once you give it a name, that's what it becomes. Until then, maybe it isn't that, which is an idea that we have over here, which we need to reflect on. It's something to really think about. That the principle in this might be that there are certain illnesses, there are certain flaws, certain tumor, the way that the Nefesh HaChaim, it's interesting that we have this piece of Nefesh HaChaim, Dafka tonight, the way the Nefesh HaChaim talks about it, what do we say? Bad nourishment causes tumor. Just as bad physical nourishment can cause cancers, so bad spiritual nourishment causes tumor in the world. And this is how the tumor manifests. And this tumor is dependent on the declaration of the Kohen. What is the, why is that so important? If you go to a doctor's a scientist. So if a doctor tells you you've got cancer or you've got the heart disease or whatever it is, he is simply telling you what's happening in your body. He's not declaring anything. He's not creating anything. Leaving aside the New Age issue. Just, he's a scientist analyzing and telling you his finding. That's all he's doing. What would you say if the doctor said to you, you've got something, you've got some disease, go to a Rav, and he'll explain to you what it is. What would you think on your way to the rabbi? What would you be thinking? Why did the doctor, why is he sending me to a rabbi? So what would the reason be? What could it be?
Because it's the end.
Sorry, because the end. Well, that could be one. Could be bad news, it's the end. Or what else could it be? Yeah, it's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. This is not about a disease. This is about a state of mind. This is about an attitude. This is about something else. The fact that it's Lameimra de Bekoyen Talio Milsa already tells us this tumor is not about a scientific fact. This is about an energy. It's a force created by you yourself. Now, we know the Medroshim. What is it that creates tumor in the house? The Kleyoker asks on the Chumash, why in this case of tumor does it say only when you come to Eretz Yisrael, when you come to Israel? The fact is, all the tumors only apply in Israel. All the psoriasis and things, they apply in Israel. You need korbanos, you need all sorts of things in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Why does it say specifically this one? When you come to Israel, look at the opening of the parsha of Chumash. Ki tavoyu el Eretz Canaan, when you come to the land of Canaan, asher ani nosein lochen lachuzo, which I am giving to you as an inheritance. Why is it saying that? Because what does the Medrash say? What is the reason for tumas atzaras? When people, the jewels inside the walls is one view. Rashi brings that. The other view the Medrash gives is tzaras ayin. Somebody comes and says, "Can I borrow a pot, a lawnmower, whatever it is?" You say, "I wish I could help you. Sorry, don't have one. I don't possess such a thing." And it's hidden away in your house. And now the Kohen comes, declares tzaras, and all your stuff has to go on the pavement outside, and everybody can see exactly what you've got, and you feel like an idiot. So it's. But what's the point? To make you feel like an idiot? What is that really all about? And I would suggest what it's about is in the definition of the purpose of a house. Because we can use a house for one of two things. We can use a house to facilitate social interaction or to insulate from social interaction. And if you use a house to facilitate social interaction, that is its purpose. It's true, the house is a boundary line. But a boundary is not just to keep things behind. A boundary line is also a point of interface, a point of interaction. To take your lawnmower out of your house, out of your Rishus HaYochid, and give it to somebody else to use, and then to get it back again. The movement in and out of the house is what facilitates interaction. If you hide yourself in the house and your things in the house and you never move out of it like a hermit, that's insulation, that's not facilitation. We can use a house to protect our property. That's why you would walls. With a house, with windows that close, to protect your property, but not to hide it. There's a difference between hiding and protecting. We can use our houses for privacy. That's what it's meant for. Tznius. For the house, a place where you can just be yourself. But not for secrecy. There's a difference. When we start using our houses for secrecy instead of privacy, for insulation instead of facilitation, and for hiding instead of for protecting, the house gets bashed down. That's what happens. It gets exposed. The contents get exposed. Why in Eretz Yisrael? What's the reason in Eretz Yisrael? Hashem tells us why. When you come to Eretz Canaan, Asher Ani Nosein Lachem, belongs to me. In Chutz Lartz in South Africa, you buy your own house. And it's yours. You live in America, you buy a house, it's yours. You conquered it, it's yours. You bought it, you purchased it, whatever it was. In Israel, it's never yours. It's God's. Your house is there to serve with. And if you don't like that idea, don't live in Israel. In Eretz Israel, your house is there to facilitate, not to insulate. In Israel, your house is there to protect, not to hide behind. In Israel, your house is there for privacy, not for secrecy. Because you're part of a community of Mamleches Kohanim, Vegoi Kodesh. You've got a mission. You've got work to do in Eretz Israel. You don't go to Eretz Israel to retire. You go to Eretz Israel to start working. To do Re'el Avoda in the work that the Nefesh HaChaim spoke about. That's where we nourish the universe from. So if we're going to be busy in the action of nourishing the universe, so if you see your role as nourishing the universe, and Hashem gave me a house, what did He give me a house? To hide my lawnmower in the house and not give it as a chesed? If somebody asks to borrow it, there's an opportunity for a mitzvah. What does a mitzvah do? We say, learn that nourishes the world. So instead of nourishing the world, I hide my lawnmower in my garage. The Kohen has to come. This is about a Kohen. This is not about science. This is about a Kohen coming and saying, this is a Tzaraas issue. This is narrow-mindedness, this is closed-mindedness, this is small-mindedness, there's a lack of generosity, there's a lack of abundance, and that's not what it ought to be. In that case, what gets affected by the tumor? So it is a tumor, but it's a tumor created not by a scientific presence of a blotch on your wall. It's a tumor in your soul, it's a tumor in your personality. That's what it is, which infects your house. And your house infects everything inside. This is not about some things receive tumor and some things don't. Everything. If your house is infected, everything's infected. If a home is infected, everything's infected. And that's why we've got to be very, very careful about homes, about how we use them, what they're used for, what we do in our homes, how we function with our homes. Certainly in Eretz Israel, certainly in Israel. Certainly the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when our responsibilities to the universe and to Hashem are just that much bigger. But the concept, the idea applies even to ourselves on a smaller level, to be aware of the fact that a home is an instrument of service of God. Like any other thing that God has given us, a home is an instrument of service of God. If we use it meant to contain things but not to hide them away, if we use our homes to hide ourselves away or to hide our things away in such a way that we don't do mitzvahs with them, then we're denying the very essence of the home, and it's a different type of tumor altogether. Other tumor comes from a physical fact. This is the only tumor that comes from a mental attitude, from a personality trait. And therefore, it permeates everything, even those things which normally would not be able to be mekabel tumor. It permeates everywhere. It just goes everywhere. That's what the house does. I imagine one could learn the converse as well and say, if a negative force in the walls of a house can bring about such negative destructiveness in the contents of the house, what about the positive? If one's home is permeated with good energy and with good things and with kind thoughts and with generosity, what does that do to the things in one's home? If the other things become tome, then that's a tyro process. It cleanses. So then our home can become like a mikveh. Our home can be a cleansing place. And that's what it really should be. When we come out from a world that is full of all sorts of things that are forces and influences that we have no control over, one should be able to come into the home and be cleansed. That's what a home should be. And that's why when we misuse it, it becomes such a defiling process. The home becomes a source of cleansing or a source of pollution. But our capacity is to turn our homes into places where we're purified, and that's why when there's a kenega tsaras, go to the Kohen. This is not for the this is not just for the scientists to determine, or for the clinicians to determine. This is for a Kohen to give a message. That's what the Kohen's role is. And the message is, we're misusing the home, we're abusing the home, and we've caused tumor, whereas we could use the home correctly and use it as a place of purification, nourishment, and refreshment to get us ready to go out back into the world again the next day. Any questions on that before we...